Mark, where were you born?
I was born Uyuni and left where Uyuni long time ago, and coming this way from Uyuni and lived on a creek, they call it, this side of Moses Point, and lived there for 3 years. And when I become able to go to school, about 9 or 10 year old, and we went to White Mountain and lived there till I go to school a little bit, not too long. I get only a fourth grade when I was school, and my dad got a reindeer from Koyuk. Go get a reindeer, my brother's reindeer from Koyuk, and when they bring it over, I was a 10 year old then, and a little bit more. And when I was fourth grade, and my dad told me to take care of that reindeer, at least about 700 reindeer that time, my brother's reindeer, and I had to take care of it and quit go to school. I should never quit go to school and stay with this to go to school. And I would know how to write, and I said, "Dad, I think I had to do it." And I quit go to school to stay with the reindeer ever since. And I've been lost them reindeer. I had when they gone, I had 1,400 reindeer, and no more. I never see my reindeer ever since the wolves got them all chased away, and no more reindeer, and White Mountain herd was all gone.
This was in what year?
That's 1933, I think. That is all.
How about when you were, say, between 15 and 20? What were you doing about then?
And when I was a 17 year old in White Mountain, and by that time, and just before I went to reindeer herding, and I go to work for mine. I'm in silver mine, and I worked there from April till November, and I had no place to cash my check, $90 a month, $3 a day, $90 a month. And I had a check. I can't cash it in that silver mine. And I work right through. And when I go back down to home, Gullivan, my folk went down Gullivan, and I give it, I had, before I left Silver Mine, I bought a shotgun, 12 gauge, and a case of ammunition with it, and that's all I need. And when I go down to Gullivan, and I told my dad, "I don't know what you want to do with the money, I don't need it. I got shotgun and lots of ammunition, I'm going to go hunting up to flat." And I give all that money to my dad. And when he bought the groceries was cheap then. And my dad asked me, "You need money?" I says, "I don't need money. I go to work again if I need money." And she bought the grocery, fill up the boat, going up to White Mountain, going to school. And ever since I've been work with a white man, and I can't talk before white English at all. And ever since I've been stay with a white man, and after that silver mine quit working, and I go to work again an old miner in Aggie Creek, a prospector. He's pretty well smart guy. And he showed me how them rocks are, where the gold run, them rocks. He said that them rocks, it belongs to the gold. And he told me exactly, if I see that kind of rock, the gold in the creek. And ever since I worked with him for I think 4 years, I stayed with that old man in that mining camp.
This is down near White Mountain?
Above White Mountain. Aggie Creek, they call it, in Fisher River. And after that, ever since, I've been working with the white man. And after that, I worked with the, when we moved here, Nome, Alaska. Mm. That's about the end of my work. Gonna be get close to end, I think. I work here another 15 years.
When did you come to Nome?
In 1932, I come here to Nome. And I work here ever since. And the social security was started then. I had the social security. They sent me the social security card. And I didn't know what to start for. But I've been work 15 years for a mining company and put in for USED another 10 years or more. And when I worked the last time for USED, that's the time when I got sick and they sent me to the hospital and I could never work anymore, the doctor said. That's the time I got no more. The doctor told me I'm going to live from Social Security. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how I'm going to do. I don't believe it, how I'm going to get the money. But he says I'm going to live on Social Security. And I find out when they fill out, the money started to come in.
Now, this story you're going to tell us is...
Now, I'm going to tell a story. There was a man lived down the coast. And he was a young man and become able to hunt. And all he got a bow and arrow and a spear, that's all. And... he got a kayak and a double paddle. I can see them double paddle coming in nice, calm weather, coming through the beach. And every point that he come through, and he take a look real slowly, because there's animal around, and lots of bear. And when he come close by, and he take a peek again in that point, and he got to the beach, up to the beach, and look in that point, and he see a great big bear. And he got a ugruk on the beach, and he was starting to eat that ugruk. Fresh ugruk come in from the ocean, and that. While he was starting to eat, and the polar bear come in from the ocean, and the polar bear don't care either. Too. He can tackle anything. He knows he's not scared, just like a bear. And the bear, when he get close. And he's quite scared, but the polar bear will not scare. When the polar bear come right to the that ugruk on the beach, and the bear, and they start to wrestle and fight. They fight like a human being, a polar bear and a bear. They fight just like a human being. Russia, boy, they roll down like that and fight and throw each other, the big husky bear, and that polar bear throwed it in the air, and that man was just watching over there in that point, little ways. And same thing when the bull and the bear, when he land on the rifle, he throw that polar bear in the air. And if they find out, that's a big wrestle he ever seen in history. And that polar bear got hurt. That bear got husky claws and sharp claws, and it teared it on the belly. When it tore it, the stomach went down. And soon as he got chance to grab a big rock, while it got hurt, and he grabbed a big rock, and he threw it right on the head, and smashed his head.
Onto the polar bear's head?
No, to the bear head. The bear head, and he smashed that bear head because he got a big tear up himself, yeah, where the stomach went out and hanging. And as soon as he hit it, he could never move himself. He just fall down right here, that polar bear, because his stomach is hanging down. He could never move anymore. Mm. And that man on the point, he watched him long time. The both of them never move no more. When they don't move over there, and he had that spear, that's about all he got. He got a strong fight with. And he had that spear, went over there right on the point to them bear and the polar bear. And when he touched them with the spear a little bit, when he don't move, he poked it right in. And when he touched that polar bear, and he touched it a little bit, and he poked it right in. The both of them was dead already. He was so scared, he didn't take no chances. That's the way the hunters are. A long time ago, they will never take no chances for the game, for they ever kill. It's got to cut it right now. And this one here, that man, them days that they didn't have no white people then in Alaska, I suppose. There's no kind of a ulu or a knife they got. I suppose this one here got a, that time I seen them, the spear rock, really solid rock on the point, and they got the real sharp thing, and I bet they tie them up real good with a skin and a good spear. This man here, he got lots of game, and a fresh bear and a fresh polar bear, both of them are, all of them are fresh, and that big ogre on the beach. And he started to work on them. He had the picnicking, and he was the richest man. He think about himself, he can live all winter with lots of meat. He hang all the meat right here, right front of him. He hang all the meat, and he got big ogre meat and dry them all up. He must have make an igloo right here, because he got lots of meat and lots of seal oil. While he was living there, not long, there was a woman walking to the beach, coming from the west, from from, I suppose, from this side here, this country. And that woman, young woman, walk on the beach, and he see that man got lots of meat. And when he got lots of meat, he tried to friendly to that young boy and live with him. He's a good sower. That woman was, that lady, become a lady. And good, he learned to be the good sower. And this man here, when he got all the meat here hanging, and she got a woman to take care of the meat right here.
Yeah.
And she started to hunt for the caribou. Them days where the caribou was tame, and he can spear it and bow and arrow. And he got a woman. That woman, they must have lived together. That's the way they. When they meet, them days, they meet like an animal and really love each other and can't get away from it and stay, live together. And this one here, and she make party clothes for that man, and he always have nice clothes because he's a good soul. And after that, they was just about to got a home, that man and a woman. Another woman come in from down the coast. When he see them folks, my, they got lots of meat hanging. And they are really comfort life. And finally, that woman and that other woman here, the one got married to that man that time, and they are good friendly. And them days, I think, God, the woman got no law to stay with the man. And they finally, this one here got two wives. And I think they are getting along fine. And when he got two wives, and they must have got in that big hut, I think, mud hut, they call it, house. And they must have got a bed on each side. The other woman stay on that side, and the married guys, they live on that side. When he come in, and that woman also good sewer, and she made a clothes for that man's size, parkie, pants, and muckluck, and mitten. She made a clothes. When she got them all finished, that clothes, he got no way to take that man. He likes the man. And when they are asleep, them folks, when he put his clothes right below, I think, take all the clothes off and go to bed because they got some a warm skin to sleep and take all the clothes off. And when he wake up, when they sleep, he take that man's clothes, tear him up to pieces so he won't put it on. Tear him up to pieces and so he got no more clothes. And when he wake up, he was look for his clothes, all torn. And that man, that woman across there got good, brand new clothes. And so he go get them clothes and put it on. And he stayed with that woman ever since, stay with that woman. And they never have no argument, them two women, when he move across, that woman, the one he got first woman, he started in to make clothes for her size. It must have taken maybe a month or so, or maybe more, whatever the skin. She had all the skin he want. And put on muckluck his size and make it fancier. He could try to make it fancier than the other woman, what she saw. And months after, finally she finished that clothes. When she got them all ready to put on, when they sleep, he grabbed that brand new clothes, and not too old, maybe only a couple of months old, that maybe 3 months old, that clothes. And he'd take it, he'd tear them to pieces, and they put it back. When he wake up, he got no clothes, and that woman got the clothes ready to put on, and she just go back to his first wife, put on that clothes. That's the way them two women live. And when that woman left him, he started to sew, put on the clothes. And that's the way them two women was getting along fine. And they never have no argument. They just, when the man moved to that other woman, he just started to sew another clothes. He'd be glad, he'd be happy when she finished, she gonna have a man again. That's the way they was live. I think and that coast, long way, that's about all them two women and that man was lived there. They don't know where them two women must have come from long village, to walked over, and long ways to come. And that's the way these people are live, mm-hmm. that time. That is all for the story.
And this is a true story?
That's a true story. That's a real true story. And I like that story. That's why, when I hear that story, I had a little schooling about a drawing picture, and I supposed to draw a picture, the one you tell me, for your mind, what kind of picture you want, mm-hmm. or a polar bear attack. I mean a polar bear, mm-hmm. a wolf attack polar bear. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of picture you want. And you tell me I want a picture that kind. I supposed to draw a picture of what you tell me to do. Mm-hmm. What tell me what you like picture. Maybe walrus or the umiak hunting, or something like that. And the reindeer herders, I like reindeer, sled deer. Mm-hmm. I used to make a sled deer picture too. But when I was doing fine and making pretty good living, and doctor examined my eyes, and he says I was just about ready to blind. Mm-hmm. And he says before I get blind, he can fix me, examine my eyes, and gonna get the glasses for me. And doctor gave me glasses. When he gave me the glasses, you can keep on drawing picture. Don't stop. And when he told me, when he gave me the glasses, I was real happy to save my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to touch no more printing paper. I'd rather see with my eyes and live. Never mind money. I don't care for money unless I got my eyes on, I'm satisfied. Mm. That's why I don't touch no more printing picture anymore. Mm. Once in a while, I print a picture and sell it a little bit, not too much. I don't charge too much for the printing paper. And I made a little spending money once in a while. I don't trust my, I'd rather see with my eyes and live like this. That is about all.
Okay.
That Isungak, he bust his eyes, that bare eyes, and lots of blood throughout. He can't see no more, that bare, and he start off on the long side. And he go, and that Isungak was keep on followed it, his spirit, and they go through the woods. He sure got killed that bear, he said. And while his daughter was eating some blueberries, and he says, "You got enough blueberries?" And he say, "Yes." And so they start off. They start off again in the air. That's a long way. Them hills were tall and sawtooth mountain and go way up and go down to Igloo to get his wife. And they, when they get to his wife, they was glad together and they together, stayed together. And I suppose they must have fly back again. That's the end of the story. That's supposed to be that the spirit man, they fly in the air. That's the first time I ever hear that Eskimo spirit man flying in the air. Because he from Igloo, he fly clear up to Igloo. That's the first time I hear Eskimo fly them days.
Where'd you hear this story from?
From down White Mountain, that story.